Good morning and welcome to the breakfast show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawson. This is the right stable for you to start your day with positive thoughts and solid spiritual foods. You're listening across Australia, 87.6, 87.8, or 88, depending on where you are, or on our Faith FM app. Today is Monday, April the 15th. The time now is 7:05 a.m. New South Wales time. I am in the studio today with Shell, Lawson, and Brian, who is training to be our producer as well. And Lawson, I am just very sad, and I think that the whole of Australia is sad as well. Sad, perhaps, is an understatement.
Yeah, regarding the events of the weekend, what happened on Saturday afternoon down in Bondi Junction. Obviously, incredibly sad story, event unfolding. For those who don't know, the death of six people as a result of a mass stabbing and injury of a few more as well. So,
18 really, people were stabbed altogether.
Yeah, hectic times, like really gnarly. And it's very sad, very harrowing. For the families and for the people involved, you know, seeing I was glued to the television, to my phone afterwards, you know, that night, looking at the information that was coming out. And, you know, there was some, you could say, positive things. I think people really rallied together during that time as that was happening and that rampage was going on. And there's been a lot of, support afterwards. And obviously, you know, the apprehension of the death of the person perpetrating.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that in our news.
Yeah,
but this radio is a radio show of hope, Lawson. Mm. And this is the thought of the day. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes." All right, let's do this. We're going to be talking about bullying today. We're going to be talking about the Bondi stabbings and Iran's attack on Israel territory yesterday. Mm. We're going to have an interview with Justin Lahman about the state of politics. And our Bible study today will be on light shining in the darkness. Stay tuned. You cannot miss today's show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Lawson, before we jump into the news, we would like to know, what is the quiz of the day?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we have fantastic prizes to give away for you for our quiz. We're going to be spinning that wheel at 8:45 on Friday morning, and all throughout this week, we are going to be giving you quiz questions. The first one here, at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "Three things remain. What are they?" If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text. And our prizes for this week are books by a friend of mine, actually, Suki Gunatilecki. These are incredible books.
Well, son, I'm glad that you know the names of your friends.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out Suki. Shout out Lineage and the amazing work that they're doing as well. We've had Adam Randon on the show to talk about, the filming projects that they're doing covering church history, the Reformation. And we have two books written by one of the members of Lineage, Suki Gunatilecki, about the Reformation era. Particularly, I've got two books here, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars, both talking about amazing stories to do with how people were standing for the truth of God's word during that time. Hey, our number is 0491-064-669. We're going to describe more of these, you know, what these books are, the stories in them, how they're powerful throughout the show today and throughout this week. But they are the two prizes that will be an absolute blessing to you. Again, that question was, at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "Three things remain. What are those three things?" 0491-064-669. That is the number to text again. 0491-064-669.
Lawson, thank you very much. Yesterday, Australia was in horror. As news coming from Sydney started to make into TV, radio, the internet, a man named Joel Cauchy, 40-year-old from Toowoomba, who had been in Sydney,
he went on a stabbing spree.
Mm.
And I'd like to say this to our listeners. This story may contain some disturbing details.
Mm.
So you discretionary, you know, will be discretionary action will be recommended if you have young children in the radio with you. And if this story triggers you, you can always find help with Lifeline 1-3-11-14, 13-11-14. That's Australian Lifeline number.
Mm.
The police is discarding that there has been terrorist motivations behind that attack. But that man, 40 years old, he went on and he stabbed 18 people, including a wife, a mother, with a 9-month-old baby on her laps.
Mm.
And there has been chaos. You know, we've seen bravery as well from shop owners who were helping to hide customers even inside the storage areas of their stores. And a brave police woman, her name is Amy Scott, without using a bulletproof vest or knife or stabbing-proof vest or anything like that, she chased the suspect.
Mm-hmm.
She told the man to drop the knife down. It didn't happen. And she shot him 3 times, neutralizing the aggressor.
Yeah.
So all of Australia is mourning today. This has been one of the worst mass killing incidents in this country.
Yeah, since the 90s.
Since the 90s?
Since the Port Arthur shooting, which, you know, led to the complete and total ban of firearms in Australia.
The man is said to suffered from schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Suffering from other mental health issues since he was 17.
Mm.
His family also called when they first found out on the news and they saw the picture of their son. They also reached out to the police and offered their support to the police, whatever they could. But yes, it's a very sad day.
Yeah.
Very, very sad day. And this is the thought that I started. We didn't have the time to conclude in the beginning of the show, but this is the thought, one of the thoughts that I wanted to share with you, our listener today. The Bible says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.
Mm.
This is why we do this show, so we can proclaim that hope. Sometimes people ask, why does God allow such untold suffering, meaningless suffering to happen?
Mm.
And my response, my reaction is, we don't know. There's so many things. Well, certainly in this case, it's the misuse and the abuse of the power of free will that God has given Joe Cauchy, and he used that instead of to edify and to build, to tear down and to destroy. But I know this, Lawson. This is not God's doing.
Yeah.
Jesus says an enemy has done this. Mm. And what I do know is that God is near those who are brokenhearted. Mm. What I do know is that God will make all wrong things right.
Yeah, absolutely. And as troubling as this incident is, right, one person, you know, using their God-given freedom to inhibit, you know, and to attack others, and to, you know, to cross over the will of others as well, you know, and this is the risk, is that you have free will and you can get in the way of others' free will. None of those people wanted to die. None of them wanted to be stabbed. It's an incredibly sad story. But immediately from this, I think, although we saw one person make such dangerous and reckless and evil decisions, what we simultaneously saw is so many people make decisions and use their free will to be a blessing to others.
Yes.
And not just those who are paid to be there, not just the police, but those people in the shopping center, the shop owners, the store owners opening up their stores so that people could find safety, and, you know, could harbor them during the time of the attack, and many of the people around, the people support, and even, you know, the, as you mentioned, the police police officer as well, who was there not, you know, in response or on call. You know,
she was by herself.
She was just there.
She was by herself.
She was attending the shopping center.
And she tried to resuscitate him.
Yeah.
After he died. So I think that just shows the level of professionalism of the police, and particularly of that police investigator. So our sympathies, our heart, our tears are going to the families, and but our sentiments of hope as well, that God will make these things right. The little baby girl that was stabbed, she is in the hospital. So we pray that God will help her to heal and to be well. And in the meantime, if you, our listener, have anything to comment on that subject, please do send us your message, your comments. We will read them on air, 0491-064-669. If there's any prayer requests as well.
Yeah. Sherry wrote in, she said, morning, every day I pray for the troubled souls that Jesus would wipe away their demons. And I think there is something really sad about this. Like, the particularly heavy thing about this event that's unfolded is that there wasn't a motive of terrorism. There wasn't some kind of political statement. It wasn't warfare. It was just the real depraved mental anguish of this particular individual, Joel Cauchy, that led him to do this terrible thing. And so I think there is such a need to pray for those who are struggling mentally, that violence won't be the outcome of their struggles.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
With Scaffy and Lawson, this is 0491-064-669 is our phone number. And Lawson, what is quiz number two of the day?
Okay, our next quiz is this. In the book of Joshua, how many total days did the Lord tell Joshua to march? I should say, I was going to say walk. No, they marched around Jericho. If you know the answer to this one, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. Again, in the book of Joshua, how many total days did the Lord tell Joshua to march around Jericho? We know that as a result, Jericho would fall, and it would be an amazing victory for the Israelites at that time. But if you know the answer and you text in the correct answer, you will go into the draw to win two books by Suki Gunatoliki. These books are just amazing stories from Reformation church history. Again, you know, this part of history is so pivotal, I should say, for the Christian faith, showing us, you know, the Christian landscape and what it looks like today, and even just the real fact that we have the Bible available to us comes from these powerful stories of history. You want this? We've got two books here, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars, talking about amazing people during the Reformation who would keep the faith and would give their lives for the sake of God's word. So again, 0491-064-669. In the book of Joshua, how many total days did the Lord tell Joshua to march around Jericho?
Lawson, we have spoken about the tragic news of the day.
Yeah.
But we are a positively different radio, and we also want you to have positive thoughts. So what do you bring to us?
Okay, so I said that I was going to talk about bullying this morning, and I'm going to talk about bullying and resilience. And this comes after we highlighted a story a couple weeks ago, and it's a sad story. It's a tragic story of an individual named Nex Benedict who would unfortunately take their own life as a result of bullying. They're a transgender individual, and they would be bullied, and as a result, you know, would end up committing suicide. Super sad story. Again, 131114 is the lifeline number if this is something that is triggering for you, if this is something that you need to talk about. But there is a greater conversation to be had out of this regarding resilience of children and how it is that, you know, kids can, or young people can, overcome the certain trials that they face as a result of being bullied, or whatever it may be. And sometimes it is the case that, you know, bullying should never happen, and we can never blame, you know, the victims of bullying for being bullied. But we can also say that, hey, unfortunately, the state of this world, it's inevitable that bullying will take place, whether it's in school or the workplace or whatever it may be. You will receive unfair treatment in some way. This is the unfortunate reality of life. There's a story that came out of England, actually, of a young girl. Her name was Sophie, and she, you know, when she was around year seven, so 13, she really struggled with her weight. She was quite overweight, and at 13, she was about 90 kilos, which for a young 13-year-old is you know, quite big, struggling with being overweight. And she, reflecting on that time in her life, she's like, yeah, you know, it was, I was struggling with self-esteem issues. I would eat lots of food as a result. Like, I'd eat lots of junk food and just, you know, from a kind of self-pity, point of view, just searching for some kind of escape that led to bullying. I was really struggling in life at that time. And it seemed like there was no escape for Sophie, because it's like, okay, the more hurt she feels, the more she's going down this road that's making her situation worse.
It ended up being a vicious cycle.
That's right. Yeah. But at some point, she stopped and she reflected on her life and she said, look, I'm the only one that can make decisions regarding the outcome of my life.
She took ownership.
That's, you know, these bad things are happening to me. I don't deserve to be bullied.
Yeah, she took full responsibility.
But what can I do for my own life? And she just tells her story here. I read this article and it's just her story of throughout her high school years saying, okay, well, I want to make changes, positive changes in my life. Look, I can't stop these people from bullying me, but I can start to do something just about my personal life. It's not helping my life, not even just in a bullying sense, but in a health sense, that I'm really unhealthy. So she started making these changes, you know. She started to diet, and I'm not talking about becoming anorexic or bulimic or doing, you know, self-harming, you know, but rather saying, okay, I'm going to start to eat healthy. I'm going to start to exercise. I'm going to start to go to bed early. I'm
losing weight the healthy way.
That's right. But furthermore than that is I'm going to start to, she became very introverted. She's like, I'm going to make an effort to engage more socially with people. I'm not an extroverted person, but this is the step that I want to take. Because I know that it's not good for me to just be alone and be wallowing in my own sadness. And after making all these steps, you know, she tells her story now as a 21-year-old. And the outcome of that is she shares that she, you know, she's like the captain and the coach of like a cheerleading squad in her university. And,
it's a big turnaround for her.
She got into the semifinals of like a beauty pageant in England, which I'm not saying is also like, you know, the great positive outcome. Like, I think she's really turned her life around, and she's like, well, now like I'm a beautiful woman who's fit and healthy and living my best life. But I think they're rather, and I'm not saying, oh, this is the goal. But what I am wanting to point out is that the outcome of taking ownership and responsibilities of our life is that we can improve. Now, here at Faith FM, being a Christian station, what I'm not saying to you is, hey, the goals, or, you know, your ability to achieve these goals and to change your life are within yourself. That's self-help. That's, you know, that's professional coaching and whatnot. Rather, the Bible says this, in James chapter 1, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It continues on and says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. What the Bible says is when we are going through various trials, whether inflicted from the outside or inflicted from the inside, self-inflicted, the Bible says, well, what it's advocating for is go to God. Seek his wisdom.
There may be an opportunity for growth there.
That's right.
You know, Lawson, what I hear about that story that I like is that there's two mentalities that we can have when faced challenges. We can have a victim mentality. Mm-hmm. I'm a victim. I'm going to, and usually the victim mentality comes accompanied with inaction.
Mm.
And there is a growth mentality. When say, okay, yes, this is happening to me. Yes, I might even be a victim, but you know what? I'm actually going to, how can I grow out of this situation? Yeah. We often talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, but psychologists are now referring to post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
Meaning that it's not so much what is thrown at you at life, but God has given us with these amazing capabilities of responding to these things in ways that actually promoting growth and promoting change and positive change.
That's right.
And this is an example.
Exactly. The reality is that we will all go through trauma. We'll all go through difficulties. And I love what you said there. We can have inaction. We can go down the road of inaction through victim mentality. And it's the inaction that makes...
Blaming often companies.
Yeah.
You know, blaming others. Oh, it's their fault. Their fault. And instead of looking, okay, what can I do about that situation?
That's right. But it makes our situation worse when we stay inactive. Like we end up in a worse state as a result with more burdens. And that's when people get into these dangerous situations.
And there's a self-beating as well. When you're self-beating and you're becoming the victim, you're receiving all this attention. And it somehow, you know, for our... How can I say it? It's like, it's good to feel that you're the victim and everybody's looking after you. But it can become an addiction.
That's right.
Almost.
But instead, in contrast to this, we can actually live a better life by taking our struggles, our hurts, our trauma in stride and saying, look, I have a decision to make. And this is what's powerful about what God is advocating for here. He's not saying you have the power, because many times we realize we don't. Like we come up to these situations, I'm like, I'm spent. I'm flat out. Like there's nothing I can do to solve this problem. And what God is saying isn't that you have the power, but he's saying you have the power to make a decision here. You have a power to make a decision to come to me, to enable me to work in your life so that you would grow in resilience, you would grow in your health, you would grow in your life, and you would see changes.
God allows a way of escape.
That's right.
To every situation.
And so, yeah, look, we don't know you. You're listening to The Breakfast Show today. We don't know our listeners, but we know that you're going through various trials, and we want to advocate, hey, whatever those trials are, go to God. He's pleading for you to come to him to find help in time of need.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We have now come to the time of our third question of the day, Lawson, about one of my very favorite books in the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. In our next question, in the book of Job, the main character, Job, lost all his close relations except for one family member. What relation was that person?
Okay.
So, he lost like lots of relatives.
Okay.
Except for one.
Okay.
What relation was that person to him? If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. Again, our prizes for this week, Suki Gunatilleki, these two amazing books, Sister in Arms and As Bright as the Stars. As Bright as the Stars is actually a brand new book that has come out by her, and these, again, fantastic stories coming from the Reformation, all about Christian history, all about the amazing work that God did through people to protect and share his word during a time in which people who had it were very much persecuted.
Yeah, I really enjoy reading these stories of courageous women. I think they are very, very inspiring. And as a father of a girl myself, I love these stories and love to tell her the stories so that she can feel inspired as well. And we have now come to the time of our interview with Justin Lohmann, our political commentator here. Justin, welcome to the show. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Yes, we are mourning. We're sad. We are suffering. We are crying with those who are crying. But we are also very hopeful that we have a Lord called Jesus Christ above us that has promised to restore all things. So it's mixed feelings.
I tell you, when I saw, you know, the pictures of the people and to hear the stories, and I'm sure it's worse than any of us know, just heartbreaking stuff.
Yes.
Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking, and not only Australia is going through a very grieving time, but internationally as well, we have some unprecedented events in the Middle East. Have you been following what's going on between Iran and Israel, yeah, Justin?
Certainly have, and let me tell you folks listening in this morning, this has massive ramifications. Guys, I'm of the belief the coming up to the November election in the US, there's going to be some very big things happen, and this may be very well one of them, because Israel had an airstrike on the Iranian embassy in Syria,
yes,
a week or two ago, and the Iranians, who are very strong militarily. Mm-hmm. People should not underestimate the amount of weaponry and the sophistication that they've got through Russia and China with their weaponry. They warned Israel they were going to retaliate, yes, and they've retaliated. And if it wasn't for the Iron Dome, this missile defense system that Israel has really relied on very heavily in recent years,
yes,
this would have been absolutely catastrophic. The numbers of drones, the numbers of missiles.
It's true.
And
we're talking about over 300. When you count drones, ballistic missiles, and cruise missiles.
Unbelievable numbers, and some, very few, but some got through and did some damage to military targets and things. But look, Israel doesn't, really since the Second World War, what they went through, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, what they went through in Germany and the Second World War, they never take a step back. And this creates the problem that they are now, it becomes like you're in the highlands of Papua New Guinea. It's Old Testament. It's an eye for an eye. If you hit me, I hit you.
And this is
America, mm-hmm, America, because understand that the Democratic Party will probably lose a lot of seats, even in the House and Senate, over the Israel issue, because the Democrats have historically been quite aligned with the Jewish population in the U.S., but in more recent years, places in Michigan and other places, Dearborn, Michigan, is very strongly dominated by people of the Islamic faith. And they have voted Democrat. And so all of a sudden now, a big part of their base is split. And so the domestic ramifications, okay, for all this are very profound. And this is where Biden's government has said, we're going to support Israel in this, which will mean military support.
Yes.
Which will mean a lot of, there's a lot of blowback going to happen to them on domestically, and they can't avoid it. They're split.
And Justin, my question is Israel going to retaliate attacking the Iranian territory? I think that's what everybody wants to know, because I do not know about you, but I found it fairly strange that Iran says, oh, we're going to attack you. Hey, notice, we're going to attack you. They gave like 1 week worth of warning. And then they launch when they launch these drones, they go at 200 kilometers an hour. They are slow. They actually look like a little motorbike, sounding effect when they're going through. They knew that the Israeli air defense systems were going to neutralize all of that. Wasn't that just, and now in the UN, the Iranian ambassador to the UN said it was just a punctual retaliation. We're not at war. We are not, and this, and our matters between Israel is done. We have absolutely no desire to go further. Could Israel just take that and say, okay, you know what? Okay, let's not escalate. Or do you think that they're going to seize this as an opportunity to say, if we were ever needing a reason to get into Iranian territory for the purpose of preemptive attacks, this is it?
Look, they have been, everyone knows, and certainly Israel and Iran know, this is not the first attack, because what Iran does is it hides behind its
proxies. Yes.
And that's why, yes, that's why they bombed the embassy in Syria, because the Iranian Quds Guard, the leader of it there, he's there in the building helping them plan attacks on Israel. So
yes,
it's kind of like, I've been sending my brother, I've been sending my cousin, I've been sending everyone, but I've been sending them. And Israel knows that.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Israel has said quite openly, with America's backing, it's Iran that's attacking us. It's, mm-hmm, Iran that's funded the whole thing in October 7 that started this shocking war that's just led to such carnage and such heartache for heaps of innocent people.
Yes.
It all started because the Iranians put tons and tons of weaponry and money
yes.
into Gaza. And
and in Lebanon as well.
I don't see a way out of this. I see this is definitely an escalation.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not pretend it's already Iran and Israel fighting. It's just like the proxies bombed the U.S. bases and killed U.S. soldiers. Oh, boy, they're playing with fire.
Yes.
Because Iran knows they'll lose a war with America. They'll do lots of damage, but America always fights with one arm behind its back. Mm-hmm. They don't use all the weapons. They could wipe that place out with one submarine.
Mm-hmm.
And one Ohio-class sub has 180 thermonuclear warheads.
Wow.
Half the globe can be melted by one sub.
Wow.
And so Iran doesn't have anything on the scale. And yes. America's got stuff that we don't know about. They've just released this new stealth bomber they have curtains over the back of it. You can't even get photos of it.
Yes.
It can fly around the globe, and its purpose is nuclear weapons. So if they and of course Israel is a nuclear power. They yes. have nuclear warheads. They have nuclear submarines. What's probably in my mind, what's going to happen next? And here am I.
Okay.
I'm a pastor. What do I know? But this is what I think is going to happen. It's usually naval that the conflict will escalate because America has such naval presence.
Mm-hmm.
And the Straits of Hormuz and these places over there, Iran they've taken a different approach. They don't go for big aircraft carriers. They have very fast ships. But their missiles, because even Yemen, it's backed by Iran.
Yes, the Houthis.
The Saudis can't stand Iran. The Iranians are Persian. Most of the other nations are Arab. And this goes way back into biblical history.
Yes.
From the captivity in Babylon and the Persian Empire that follows with Cyrus. This is Iran. These are very old nations, and they're proud nations, and they don't take a step back.
So
they're playing with fire. Mm. None of us, we're not God. We don't know exactly what's going to play next, but this is a very, very serious escalation. And, you know, some of the documents they found in Biden's documents, these illegal documents he had, was a plan for, you know, neutralizing Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They're well down the path on this. And we're all, you see this stabbing by this deranged individual there in Sydney.
Yes.
And you just mortified the scale that these weapons destroy people. It's horrific.
Yes.
We don't want a war under any circumstance, but the amount of what they're playing with here, and I honestly, and this is a terrible thing to say on radio, the Biden administration, they need a war. They need something because they're going to get obliterated in the election. And that's the thing that troubles me most. I've said it in these morning programs quite some time. This can provide domestically a massive distraction that will unify their country that's very divided.
That's very interesting that you said that, because I was thinking along those lines. Usually when – and I was thinking actually from the Iran side, could it be that Iran's regime is feeling weak and therefore they need to find an external threat or an enemy to unify the country? Because this is the tendency, isn't it, Justin, that when you find an external enemy, then a once divided country all of a sudden unifies against this common threat.
Yes, and I actually believe it's America that's in that situation. One side of politics is, and it's a terrible thing for me to say, that people would get engaged in wars as a distraction, but the facts of history say that that is the case. But the level of weaponry now, Iran has massive tunnels built into mountains that have kilometers and kilometers of weapons, of missiles stored in there. They've been preparing and preparing and preparing. They want Israel wiped off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And they call Israel the little Satan and America the big Satan. And they have, I think it's a terrible, terrible underestimation of the resolve of the U.S. military. They can deal with this with one arm behind their back.
But if Iran decides to go forward with these plans, doesn't that mean the wiping out of their own nation?
Well, see, this is the problem, is we've got China and Russia, and they're all aligned. They've even started to form a new currency. They're storing gold. They're doing all the things that would warn you. Our prime minister comes out last week and says we want a missile defense system with Japan and America, and we want to manufacture. Our prime minister said we're preparing for war by saying those things. The globalism where we rely on overseas products and everything, he basically wound it back. What does he know? There's some stuff going on here, yes, folks, and you need to get ready, because China wants Taiwan. And what Iran knows, that if China goes to Taiwan, there's two aircraft battle groups gone, aircraft carriers. America will get stretched. And Russia is winning in Ukraine. Like, it's become worse and a bloodbath, and now they're nervous about Poland. And
we only have 15 seconds left. What is the last words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Jesus is coming soon, folks. Lift up your heads. Your redemption's drawing near.
Amen. Amen to that. Justin Lohmann, thank you very much. Directly from Canberra, thank you for your political commentaries.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.